Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
When you think of the desert in Arizona, you likely think of hot weather, cactus, beautiful sunshine. And for those of us who have been in the state for a long time, sometimes we also think about scorpions and spiders and the ones that can hurt us. Today, we have an incredible opportunity to meet with Clint Richardson, who is the owner-operator for No More Critters. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the best ways to protect your home and your family from critters. I'm Karen Nowicki. Thank you for listening to Phoenix Business Radio, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. We're broadcasting live today from the Max 6 Entrepreneur Center right here in Tempe, Arizona. Welcome to the studio, Clint.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to hear about your backstory. So you've owned this business for how long?
A little over a year and a half.
Wow. So brand spanking new.
Yeah.
I'm only about a year and a half, 2 years ahead of you in owning Business Radio X. So we're both in that, let's make this happen mode.
Right.
But prior to owning your own business, No More Critters, you had been in the pest control industry for a while.
Yes. Over 7 years, doing all the maintenances and dealing with termites and bees and everything under the sun that's not human. So
yeah, I've had termites. That was your life, right? I've had the termites. I've had the bees. Knock on wood that I haven't had any scorpion experiences in my home, but I know plenty of people who've had. So what got you excited about opening your own business? I believe there might be a story behind that, you were looking for the best way to seal homes, huh?
Yeah, it really stretches back when I was in the pest control industry. So there was a day that I was relatively new to the industry and I got called out to a house that they had just moved in and the whole family joined me outside, which was kind of unusual. Usually little kids don't care. Okay, the bug guy, okay. But I came out there and they were all really concerned because they said when they bought the house, they ran in to check it out, or their two-year-old did. And he was in the house for all but 2 seconds and got stung by a scorpion trying to go check out his new room.
Oh, boy.
And they said, what can you do? We'll do whatever, is more than spraying. I felt bad that just to come spray and do the initial service and not do anything else. I had to leave them with something. So I said, I could seal your home. And they said, well, what's that? And I explained what it is. They said, yeah, let's do it. So we scheduled it. I sealed their home and they never saw another one since. And then it was there that I saw that it was a valuable service. And so as time went on and I left the pest control industry and life kind of took me other places, I came back around to this and saw it as a way to do it exclusively because it was so important and it can be used for even normal pest control. If you don't have scorpions, it's still effective and still can save money.
So tell us, what does sealing mean when you explain it to that family and you continue to explain it to potential customers? How do you explain sealing?
So home sealing is a relatively new term that a lot of people don't know. And that's been my mission, is to explain what it is, because I think if people understand what it is, they are intrigued and it can be helpful. So in a given stucco home, which we have, most of us have stucco homes, but it also works on block or brick homes as well. But in a stucco home, you have a metal flashing or a J trim or a weep screed. People have several different names for this flashing that comes to the end of the stucco and meets the foundation of your home. That is installed, but it's installed not to keep pests away. Unfortunately, it's installed to help the home, the moisture drip out and ventilation to occur so the house can breathe. So the flashing can pull away from the foundation, or it's installed that way, and pests use it as immediate access into your home. And it can be dangerous because scorpions, from the ground up, They're small, little, they get up there, and that's the easiest access point they have. So I come behind that and I seal the J trim or the weep screed to the foundation. So it eliminates that area.
Wow. So how long does it, well, first of all, is it a silicone or what's the material?
Yeah, it's a caulking that's a silicone. It's goes on right now. I have some material that goes, that gets applied in white in color and dries clear. So there's no scarring on your home or it's not evident.
Yeah.
So it's really useful. I also have some spacing material that I use for bigger gaps so that we're not always depending on the caulking. There's other ways in which I can seal up bigger holes and other situations of that nature.
And is it considered a pesticide? Is it poisonous?
No, it's not. That's one of the things that we like to talk about is that it's not, we don't use pesticides. This is just a caulking that anybody can get. It's rated for 40 years once it adheres to your home. And I don't necessarily guarantee it for 40 years. I have a 3-year limited warranty, but I don't use any pesticides, even though I'm trained and I know all about that world and I can help people with that as well. But as far as informational, but that's how I seal a home.
And it's a great alternative to the chemicals, which is a concern.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be something if people are concerned about it, don't want to do the pesticide route. This is another way to just figure out how am I going to control my pests? Obviously, scorpions is the big calling card, but I also want to make sure I am available to people that don't have them in their area, but they just are tired of seeing the sewer roaches and husbands are tired of catching them and coming home from work or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
I want to help out.
Yeah. So you mentioned that it's you have a 3-year guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
How, especially a new business owner, how am I trying to ask the question? Because you're not out there once a month or once a, you know, every 2 months or what, that's what my service used to be, every 2 months for pest control. Is this kind of a one time, or you recommend you come back every 3 years? What's the plan for you as you build the business? Because it isn't like it's something that someone's going to need all the time, right? It's not a haircut,
right,
which we need once a month or every 6 or 8 weeks. It's not
sure.
Pesticide, but it's the beauty of that is the homeowner really benefits from having something that they can take advantage of for such a long time. Imagine that stumps you a little bit because it isn't something that's recurring. How do you work on that with customers? Do you come back after the 3-year period of time and redo it? What are you thinking?
Yeah. So I haven't really had to face that. Obviously, with being a year and a half old, I do want the customer to know you can call me if there's activity. We can troubleshoot what's going on because obviously house to house, we have picked up some things. You just continue to learn. And so you want to troubleshoot the houses that are having issues and want them to get their money's worth. So we want to be faithful to our guarantee. So after the 3 years expires, I would love, and still developing, an option to use an extended warranty, maybe annually. Still working on those details, but that's what I just want to make sure they know that I'm still there and it still guarantees or still carries with it the same guarantee they had with the 3 years. So I just want it. It'd be an additional fee, of course, to keep that going, but I want to be a part of the solution for the life of the home.
And how different is that, I think, oftentimes compared to what other businesses tend to do, right? Some businesses want to get in there as often as they can because it's revenue. And yet you're saying, listen, we've got a solution that's not harmful, that lasts a long time, and it's safe for your family and safe for your home. Let's take care of this for you. I think that's a brilliant idea. Are there a lot of competitors out there doing that you're aware of in the Metro Phoenix area? Or you said it's a fairly new technique for pest control.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a fairly new technique for pest control as it is. Bobby, homeowner, probably hasn't heard of it. So we're trying to get that word out that way. So a lot of pest control companies that are bigger, that aren't worried about labor costs and that kind of thing, they do provide this service in addition to their normal maintenances and whatever else they provide. The smaller companies tend to not. And so that's one of those marketing things that I try to do, is I'm trying to work with those guys as well to get the word out there. But as far as that's concerned, it's not new to the industry, okay. But to answer your question, two or three other companies that I know of do what I do.
So it's really more of an education, helping people better understand. And as a new business owner, what are you doing to put yourself out there and help educate and let people know? Any good stuff going on there?
Really trying to take advantage of the analytics and the social media realm, the free marketing, just advertising, letting people know we're out there. I have a 5-year-old, so I try to strategically place him in catchy moments and just funny things to use him. He's probably my biggest salesman right now. And just appeal to people, just something different. I want my marketing to be interesting and funny, just not wasting people's time with things I want to educate them with. And so social media is a big one. Networking. Try to look for free networking options. Some of them cost, but you know, I try to keep the cost down and revenue up. So, and also just any way that I could find to make sure people who haven't heard of me have heard of me. So I'm open to anything. If the phone rings, if somebody offering something, I always want to hear it out and just see if I can work it in and if it makes sense.
Awesome. And are you in Gilbert? You live in the Gilbert area.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're servicing the Metro Phoenix area, or is there a specific area of town that you're focusing on?
Focusing on locally as far as SEO type stuff, but I'm willing to go all over. So tomorrow I have a job in Tucson, as I'm trying to put a little footprint in Tucson. I have a networking group out there. I also want to go up the New River or way west of here or Gold Canyon, whatever. I just want to be everywhere I can, because it is a one-time service. I feel like I have a product that everybody needs, and don't want to worry about the gas of the issue, you will.
If you're a homeowner, you need your service. Yeah. I can't help but think, and we talked a little bit about this before we came on air, that connecting with realtors would be a great opportunity. I know a lot of realtors will often give a gift, you know, some sort of welcome gift. I don't know the price point, what we're talking about, but it would be great, of course, to stay connected to folks who are selling the homes. Let's talk a little bit how you provide a quote. Is it something that you can do over the phone? Is it you have to visit? How do you decide how to price out the opportunity?
Yeah, I started out when I started the company, I worked with some options on how to quote over the phone, and it just didn't seem to be accurate or fair for both of us. So I want to make sure wherever you live that I come out for a free inspection, just to check out what you have. And what I do is I charge by the linear foot. So I take a measuring wheel and measure the foundation of the home. A lot of people think that it's when they call, they say, this is my square footage. How much is it? And we really don't measure by the square footage, because I don't really think it's fair, because I'm not going to be working in the middle of your home where square footage is counted. I want to charge where I'm going to be working. And so that's what we do. So we come out and see what obstacles there are, just what gaps there are, not to charge more, but to just see what materials we're going to need to effectively seal the home. And whether it's block, brick, panel siding, manufactured homes, and stucco, we measure it the same. And then we can go from there. So the price that we give at the point of the quote is going to be the price from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. There's going to be no changes on that. And I like that. I want people to know that when I leave and they're trying to look at the costs, that there's no hidden fees or anything like that.
Well, I'm sure they appreciate that. And I would imagine, as personable as you are, going out and meeting them would make a difference too, because you're helping to create that relationship, right? As opposed to just over the phone. Yeah.
Sure.
You have this easy calm about you, and I think the word is trust, and also honesty around really wanting to do well by your customers. Has that been a part of your life for as long as you can remember, or is this something that you've just grown into? I'm curious about you, the individual.
Thanks for saying that. I think I was brought up that way. My dad and my parents really instilled that early on. My dad was an executive for IBM and later went into sales in the same company. And he was always he was more interested in making sure his integrity was out there instead of the dollar. And so I just kind of picked that up from him as we talk and just learn from him. And really, my faith, I'm a born again Christian. I don't think there's anything more important than making sure that you treat people right. And I just want to make sure that, yeah, we all have to make money, but I want to serve people. I want to protect children. That's one of the reasons we're doing this, is because there's no reason that we should buy these huge expensive homes and even small expensive homes and be worried about our kids. I want to make sure that we don't have to worry about our kids as much. And if I can take care of the scorpion side, they can take care of everything else. But I want to protect children in their own homes and have parents have peace about that. And it's about treating people right and being and having integrity.
Yep. I hear that. I see that in what I've read about the company so far, and of course, just meeting you today. And that speaks volumes to us. That's how Daryl and I are building Business Radio X. It's around doing good work for people, right? Sometimes it's a longer start because we're not going for just the quick buck, but building those relationships is really important. And I'm sure your customers greatly appreciate it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
If they don't, then I'm not doing my job.
Yeah. Or they might not even be the right customer for you. Tell me a little bit more about scorpions. Are there parts of the valley that you've found are heavier than others? Are they really just everywhere?
Yeah, they're in separate parts of the valley. It's weird. I've been where I am for 8 years and nobody's seen anything like that. We struggle with ants, but we don't have scorpions. And then 2 miles north of us and 3 miles south of us, the people are struggling with them. And it seems to be the newer developments stir them up, and the older established ones don't have them. It's really hard to explain. I mean, you can Google places, scorpion activities, spaces and places, and it just is spotty. But there's a lot of them, like Eastmark, that's just become a big thing. That they are struggling over there and have them, and they're not in the foreseeable future just to kick them out. It's just doesn't work that way. So it's really strange. And all over the valley, it's either you have them or you don't. It seems to be a topic of conversation for everybody. So I know they don't really travel more than 1,000 yards from when they were are born. A lot of people think they're hatched, but they actually, their mother births them and then they climb on their back for 6 weeks or so. That's one thing that's always surprising to people, but they're very territorial and they're kind of loners. They don't travel in packs or anything like that. They kind of go on their own and do their own thing. And they stay, like I said, 1,000 yards within where they started.
I didn't know that. Yeah. How about termites? Is the sealing your home, is that helpful with protecting from termites as well?
I wish. I would love that, but it's not. So I usually, if somebody, if I find termites on a home, because I'm up close enough to the foundation, and obviously, I usually like to refer that out to business owners that I've built relationships with and I trust, and I can give that to them and know they'll get taken care of. Another thing I refer out is a rodent service, because we're not quite ready to exclude rats. What we do does exclude mice, which is helpful because they don't climb as well as rats, but bee services and things like that, we can prevent it. We just can't get rid of them right now. So.
Yeah, rats, they're pesky as well. I'm in a rental after being in a home for 24 years. I just kind of restarted life in Ahwatukee, and I had a hot tub, which was one of the exciting things for my 14-year-old and I. But after 6 months, the electrical just stopped working. And when they came out to take a look to see if they could fix it, the guy's feedback was, there was a rat or something that got underneath here and just chewed through the wiring. And it didn't make sense, of course, for the homeowner to replace it for a rental property, an investment property. But that's my first experience with rats. And I know we've had a lot of roof rat issues throughout the valley as well.
Yeah, it's a big market, and there's a lot of potential in there. And we just want to focus on the one thing.
Yeah.
And then grow from there.
And refer out until then. I think that's excellent. You've built some great relationships with people that you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you, I know before we came on air, you mentioned you were originally from Texas, but you've been here for 32 years?
32 years. So yeah. That's part of the story, I guess, is we were in El Paso, Texas. I was born in Arlington, Texas, and my dad worked for IBM. So that used to mean I've been moved. It was a right. joke. For IBM employees and families, obviously, my dad would move every 3 years and go to another job. And we landed where we landed in El Paso as another move. We just got established there and got to know our neighbors really well. We had a good neighborhood and a good church, and we wanted to stay there and build that community. And he went into sales so that he didn't have to go with his jobs back to Dallas. So, and then a little later, he felt like he was called to be an associate pastor out here to help a church. And so we're still a part of that church 32 some odd years later. And he's still the associate pastor and a shepherding pastor. And that's why we're out here.
So good.
So I'm just trying to be like him.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's very proud of you. Other siblings as well, or are you the only kiddo?
No, I fortunately I have an older brother, a younger brother, and a younger sister.
And they're all still in the Metro Phoenix area?
Yeah. In fact, we all live 10 minutes away from each other, kind of at one point, at each other's house. We're all 10 minutes away from all our houses. So
nice. And your wife grew up here as well, or?
She's from the Northwest.
Okay.
So in Washington. She likes to tell people it's Puyallup. They always misspell it, but she makes sure that everybody knows
the correct Puyallup. So right.
I still don't know how to spell it, but that's where she's from. She came out here with her two boys and friends introduced us we were mutual friends. So.
And you've got a five-year-old. We're hoping to meet your wife today, but I know that she had to stay back and keep an eye on the youngest.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Next time. Hopefully there'll be a next time. Yeah.
That'd be great.
So you mentioned social media. What platforms are you taking advantage of? I'm imagining Facebook and...
Mm-hmm. Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter.
You name it.
Yeah, it's all there. Facebook, I probably have the biggest following on there. Twitter is Twitter. So you just try to put your stuff out there. Instagram is coming along. And LinkedIn has been really helpful for me. I've been really surprised. They were the last platform that I joined a little over a year ago. And it's I just really appreciate LinkedIn with all the business professionals, and everybody's wanting to move the earth and for each other and other small business owners. And we're just trying to build a community, and everybody's wanting to meet. And so my personal policy with LinkedIn is, if I connect with you, I want to meet you, just because what's the point of having so many connections on your LinkedIn if you're not meeting them, if you don't know them? I just don't see the point in that. So yeah. I always ask for a phone call or to meet up or something.
And that's how we connected, because I believe you and Daryl connected through probably my account. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you got to meet this guy. It sounds like a fascinating business. And here you are. We're grateful for that. I love that too for LinkedIn. What I don't enjoy is someone pounces on me the second we're connected, you know, like immediately wanting to sell me whatever their product or service is. I'm like, just so let's just back it up just a little bit, because I lead with relationship as well. I really want to get to know people before we have that conversation to see if there's a good fit. So I'm glad that LinkedIn's working for you.
Yeah, it is. And people don't like to be knowing they're being sold. So I just would rather know the person and them know me and build trust.
And then it's just a conversation, and then they can decide if it fits or not, right? But at least there's a relationship build and an opportunity for a referral. You had mentioned networking. I don't know if you're familiar with Local First Arizona, but they do their show here with us, Arizona Good Business. I think that'd be a great organization for you to get to know. There's a very nominal fee to become a member, but they're the largest small business coalition in the country. Oh. And just huge advocates for all business owners, you know, small, medium, large enterprise, as well as the mainstream businesses. And we can make an introduction to Thomas and see if it makes sense for you to connect. Daryl and I try to go to the networking events as often as we can. I think, was it this week or last week, there was one that was way out north, and where he's like, I don't think you want to go that far out for it. So we opted. Oh, it's the one coming up. Yeah, we opted not to go. But like you, we're just looking forward to making those connections and seeing where we can make those introductions as often as we can. So you're on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, which I still can't bring myself to do Twitter, but good for you for doing it. Yeah, each of them have their own little flavor, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of change things a little bit. And I love that you and your five-year-old are kind of doing it together. Kids and puppies always are a great way to get people to connect and find interest in what you're doing. Before pest control, were you doing something? I mean, have you ever owned a business before? Is this the first go for you?
This is the first go. I haven't even owned so much of the lemonade stand. So
really?
Yeah. So I left the pest control job back during the last recession of 2009, mm-hmm. 2010-ish. And I had to jump into something more 40 hours a week, sure. constant, and rebuild. And so that's what I did. And later, so I guess it was a year and a half ago, I was a part of an eight-year tenured job that I had. And I was doing CAD work. And really enjoyed it. When COVID hit, I survived four layoffs and furlough rounds. And then I was the very last one furloughed and wasn't really sure where I was headed. So I was at home for 6 weeks trying to start a few things, looked at, I started a t-shirt business. It's not really up and running right now, but that's kind of another revenue stream we're looking at. Just looking for other things. Got an email saying that the furlough's indefinite. So I didn't like that word, indefinite. So I just wanted to do something that I don't have to be trained in, that I can build and work from. And I landed on this with the help of my brother, just talking to somebody else. So I started No More Critters and the teeth of the pandemic, and just started to build it as slow and not just getting too crazy at first. And here we are after that.
Yeah. Slow and steady wins the race. Yeah. I trust that you'll be a great success. And I know of great benefit to homeowners and making sure that their families and their homes are safe. Very good. So again, we've been connecting with Clint Richardson, owner and operator of No More Critters. and find No More Critters on, let's see, No More, very easy, nomorecritters.com. How, it doesn't get any easier than that. And of course, No More Critters on LinkedIn, Facebook, as well as Twitter and Instagram. This has been a thrill to get to know you. I appreciate you coming in and telling us about your success story, and much success and progress to you. And if there's any introductions we can help you with, we'd love to do that.
I would love to help each other. It'd be great.
Excellent. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Max 6 Entrepreneur Center right here in Tempe, Arizona. Some businesses lean right, some lean left. We lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Owicki. Thanks for listening.